You are listening to Birth of a New Earth. My name is Janice Barcello. I'm your host for this program here at Republic Broadcasting Network. Friends, you know that we are totally listener-supported here, so if you would be so kind as to reach into your pockets, reach into your wallets, and donate whatever you can to help keep us on the air. We're getting a lot of feedback here. I'm not sure if there's anything that can be done about that. So, yeah, we want to keep us on the air and keep this information flowing. I do want to share a little bit before I bring on my guest, who I think you'll be, some of you will be challenged by and some of you will be impressed by. It depends on your thinking. But before I bring him on, I want to say I got news today that Dr. Rashid Bashar has died. Apparently, you know, he's one of the few doctors that I actually trusted out of all of them that are suddenly coming forward as heroes. He's one of the few that I never picked up any bad feeling about. And yet he's dead. And it seems like he died with symptoms that are similar to the vaccination symptoms. What is all of that about? Except he wasn't vaccinated. So it looks like he had shedding issues. And my biggest question is, would he have lived if he was not exposed to wireless devices? And I'm going to remind every single one of you who are listening, who are using wireless devices, that you're hurting people. You're carrying around weapons. You're bringing them into your home. And this needs to come to an end. People are dying, not just people. I don't know. I'm hearing a lot of background noise. I'm not sure what's going on. Frank, can you tell me what's happening? Oh, is that what it is? Okay. Hopefully we can get him to a quieter place. Yeah. So, and I'll share with you while we're waiting for him to come back on the line that for the past 3 nights, I myself am not able to sleep because there's some kind of frequency change that's in the air and my left ear is picking it up. It sounds like knocking and chirping, which I know are the sounds of microwaves, because many people have written about this. And sometimes the chirping is so loud, it sounds like a siren. So for people who are sensitive already, this is torture. Your devices are torture to the people around you who are struggling to stay alive at this time. So if you haven't considered giving them up yet, I would ask you to please consider that right now so that more people can live. We need to be free of this energy once and for all. And I know Rashid Bashar spoke about this issue. And still, he's not with us anymore. People are dropping dead left and right. So what do we do? How do we reach people to get them to understand the depth of the danger that they're putting people in? This is a selfish thing. All right. I'm going to introduce myself so that I don't keep ranting about this. I hope you feel my heart and my pain.
I can't hear. I turn the speaker. It goes off.
All right. My guest today is Arch Stanton, who I'm hoping is going to be able to make a clear presentation today. Arch, are you there?
Try to turn it on again.
Arch, are you there? Are you there, Arch?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I don't know who's laughing in the background and what's.
I'm trying to get a headset set up so I can hear properly, and right now I'm on speakerphone.
Okay. All right. Arch has written a very important book called The Conspiracy of Man. And this book presents an alternative vision of Jesus, of the story of Jesus and who he really was and what he came to this earth to do. And it makes a lot of sense what he's written in this book when you realize how much the Jews hate him. They hate his guts with a passion. I think that he's more hated than Hitler. And Arch has very good thoughts about why that is. So I wanted to bring him in to talk about this book, to talk about his ideas, and to help people begin to see Christianity in a new light. So Arch, welcome to the show. Can you hear me clearly? Do we think that there's some interference with getting this information? I can't hear you, Arch, if you are there. Gosh, I'm sorry, people. We're having some technical problems with
Arch. Not working.
Are you there?
Not working. I don't know what's wrong.
Art, can you hear me?
I got to turn it up.
Now I can hear you.
Judy, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. We need to be able to hear you better, I hope, but at least we can hear you, and I hope you can hear me. Try to speak as loudly as you can. I don't know if you can take it off a speakerphone. That would probably be hugely helpful, so we won't hear the background noise either, and we'll hear your voice more clearly. Because what you need to say is,
okay,
I want people to hear you.
Okay, can you hear me? Is it working?
That's better. Yes, my friend. Okay, welcome to RBN, Arch Stanton. So you've written a book. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to writing this book about an alternative thinking about who Jesus was?
that's a rather long and involved subject. Basically, it was a task that I felt needed to be done. I had no interest in the subject, but I had a considerable amount of information, and I suddenly realized that it needed to be brought forth to the public.
Were you feeling that you were being asked by a higher force to present this information, or?
That was clearly the case. And it was not just some voice, ethereal voice that came out of the blue. It was shown to me. It was demonstrated to me. And that's what clinched it. Because when initially I was presented with this, I went, there's no way. I'm not writing anything about Jesus. I don't care. And I was clearly shown, no, this is the case.
Yeah, this is something you probably came to do. And, you know, the interesting thing about Arch is when I first learned about his book and we started communicating and I read his book, and Arch, you made it clear to me that you really did not want to write this book or to try to help Christians understand things in a different way because Christians are hard to reach. You know, dogma is hard to get through when people are really attached to their Bible and their religious beliefs. It's kind of hard to get them to open their minds to other possibilities. And yet, here you are, and now's the time. I know your book has been out there for a bit. It's on the internet. At the, what's the website again? Theconspiracyofman.org or .net?
Conspiracyofman.com.
.com. So you can read the first few chapters of his book at that website, conspiracyofman.com. But I know you didn't want to do this. So tell us a little bit about your book. Let's just do a brief overview, and then we'll get into more detail.
Well, essentially, I guess an overview would be the book is about the life of Jesus, and it's taken basically from the gospel account, but it's couched in a format that's totally different from the Christian format. It's about how Jesus came about and what mission he was tasked with doing. And it's quite... go ahead.
No, you go ahead. It's quite what?
Well, it's considerably different from anything I think anybody has ever heard. I've never found this story anywhere else from any other source. And I find that interesting because it's like, you know, how did I get this story? Why do I have this story when nobody else has ever seen it?
I'll tell you something, and I'll reveal this to my listeners. I was drawn to the story immediately because I have a background in which, like all good Christian women, I wanted to be like the bride of Christ. And I thought that Mary Magdalene was the bride of Christ, having read the Da Vinci stuff and all this, right? So I did an initiatory process into the mysteries of Mary Magdalene. And I understood from that initiatory process, through which I was ordained as a minister, by the way, in the Christian faith, I understood through that process that Jesus was conceived in a very special way. And for a very special reason. And I wonder if you could share your take on that.
Well, the actual conspiracy was an esteemed conspiracy to bring down the Second Temple. And Jesus was actually bred for this mission. In fact, Mary was groomed to attract a priest to get a union that would produce an individual with an unmistakable bloodline that would allow him to be initiated into the priesthood. And that's why they cover his bloodline so carefully, is because it's describing that he had all the authority to become a priest. Or all, I should say, all the bloodline to become a priest.
And so Mary was groomed to attract a particular type of man to conceive...
A temple priest.
A temple priest, okay, to conceive her child, who was going to be conceived in order to come to this earth to do a very specific task, which is to take down the temple. Tell us more about that, please. What was going on at the temple that the Essenes had such a problem with, that they wanted to take it down?
Well, the Second Temple was it was huge. It was an imposing force in Judea, and it's seldom discussed. But essentially, the Second Temple was the Jews' first central bank. It was a consolidated power of wealth, and it was so intense or so large that the Romans actually borrowed funds from the temple to build their various projects like aqueducts and whatnot. So there was an extreme amount of wealth and power in the Second Temple. It was all based on the blood sacrifice. And the blood sacrifice was stipulated by laws, by Torah law. And it was very oppressive to the people. So Jesus came to end that. He came to fulfill the law. And in doing so, he ended the sacrificial structure that provided the wealth for the priesthood, this temple priesthood.
I want you to go into some detail about this, the sacrifice, because if anybody doubts that the Jews were involved in human and animal sacrifice and continue to be involved in human and animal sacrifice despite Jesus' efforts to put the kibosh on this evil, okay, do some homework, because it was happening, it is happening. They thrive on the most horrid suffering. Their God thrives on it as well. And Jesus tried to put an end to this. But you went into detail in your book about people, the Jewish people, having to sacrifice their family members in order to pay the temple dues. Is that right?
Well, it wasn't exactly that way. The most profound thing I discovered was that temple Jews, and it's all about temple Jews. It's nothing to do with anybody else. These were about the followers of the temple. And they were actually burying their loved ones alive. They were entombing them alive to avoid a tax, a sacrificial tax, or actually a purification tax, called the Paraduma. And the Paraduma was, I couldn't really understand why, you know, what is it about this that would make people entomb their loved ones alive? And so as I researched it, I came across the fact that the Paraduma involved the ashes of the red heifer. Now, these were extremely rare ashes. The ashes of the red heifer had only been sacrificed 9 times from the time of Moses to the time of Jesus. So there were 9 animals that they could get these ashes from. Now, it's obvious that whatever the market will bear comes into play here, and if the ashes are rare, they're very expensive. The story of Jesus' raising of the daughter of Jairus, highlights this fact that even wealthy Jews didn't want, and influential Jews in the community, didn't want to pay this tax. And so they were entombing their loved ones alive to avoid it. And the whole issue was touching a dead body. This goes back to Torah law, and the body was the most unclean thing of all. So if you touch a dead body, you invoke this sacrificial penalty that was very oppressive. And people were actually burying their loved ones or entombing their loved ones alive to avoid it. Jesus' raising of Lazarus, you know, this is one of his miracles, but his raising of Lazarus was a public demonstration against this tax, against this purification rite, and how unfair it was. And this is why he brings Lazarus out of the tomb. Now, something you have to understand about this is Jesus was a priest. People think he was a rabbi, and a rabbi is a teacher, and yeah, he was a rabbi, but he was far more than that. He was a priest, and only a priest had the authority to question or argue or rebuke Torah law. So he had to be a priest to do this. Otherwise, nobody would have paid attention to him. Everybody would have said, oh, well, who's this guy? He's a nobody. But when Jesus raised Lazarus, what he was doing, he was showing people publicly, this is unfair, this is incorrect, that you're entombing your loved ones alive simply to avoid paying this sacrificial penalty.
Oh, homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Let's talk debt versus deficit. I'm Peter Serafine with another Liberty Minute. The national debt is like your credit card balance. It is the amount of money owed if you pay it off right now. The national debt limit is like your credit limit. It is the maximum amount you are allowed to borrow. The 14th Amendment says that the public debt shall not be questioned. It does not say that increasing the debt can't be questioned or challenged. Every time we approach the debt limit, politicians on both sides say that we will default on our debt if we don't raise the limit. Well, that's only true if government keeps spending on everything that they want. Only two expenses are specifically authorized by the U.S. Constitution: the public debt and national defense. Constitutionally, everything else is optional. Pay the debt payment and the national defense expense, and budget what's left. No debt increase needed. Don't let politicians lie to you so that they can keep spending your money with reckless abandon. Please visit the shop at liberty-lighthouse.com and pick up a bumper sticker or t-shirt. Until next time, Cephas Pashem, Parabellum.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Arch, we have a caller, Andy from Texas. Are you there?
Oh, well, hey, thanks. I really appreciate you taking my call. So, here I am in my little world and stuff, and so we're kind of on a biblical theme here, and I don't subscribe to that. It doesn't work for me. It just seems like that we're actually grabbing something that's not really there. I do know there's a creator. I know somebody put us on this planet. I don't know how this spark of life happened. I have no idea. But that's my continual search. I keep searching for the idea of why I'm alive. And you know, and people tell me that's an endless search. People told me I shouldn't start a business because it's just too much headache, and I did that too. I mean, so a lot of things have happened in my life. This is just an incredible journey that we're on, and I don't subscribe to a club. A religion is a club. There's something always persuading you to go a certain way, this way, that way, or whatever. I just want to be me, and that's what I think we were put on this planet to be, is, hey, do the best you can to be you.
All right. I get it, Andy, and I think we all have a personal connection with the creator or the creative force as we understand it. The reason we're having this conversation today is because the overwhelming majority of our people, the white race, are involved in the Christian faith, and they believe that Jesus was the Son of God. That is what their religion has taught them. And I wanted to bring forth another possibility about who this man was. And I think Arch has some really important ideas for people to contemplate. So I thank you for your comments very much. And I'm going to get back to Arch now, because I think what he has to share.
Have a good night.
You too. Take care, Andy. So Arch, bringing it back to you, you know, you're saying that...
Wait a minute. Denise, let me address the caller for a moment.
Yes.
This is a big question in everybody's mind. It's been a big question in my mind. What am I doing here? And what I discovered is when we come onto this planet, we're given two choices, and only two choices, and you have to make one. The first choice is to be self-serving. It's all about me. I'm going to grab all I can get. I'm going to get everything I want from me. It's all about me. The second choice is a more difficult one, and that is to serve others, even at your expense. So basically, your purpose here is to learn that, is to serve others. That's why you're here, not to grab all you can for yourself.
Okay, so you're trying to tell Andy why he's here? Is that what you're doing right now?
We're all here. I mean, we're here to help each other on this planet. We're not here to grab everything we can get at the expense of anyone who gets in the way.
Yeah, I would take it to a different level to say we're here to create. We're here to co-create. To co-create with the Creator and to beautify this earth and to bring love, to exude love, to receive and emit love. And we've been interfered with on every level.
Severely,
by the very creatures that despise this man we call Jesus today, who Christians believe is the Son of God. So this is an important conversation, because what's being taught in the Bible is nothing to do with God, the real Creator, has nothing to do with love, while that entity is, you know, burning people's land and sacrificing, having sacrifices made to him and commanding circumcision. This is not love, people. This is the antithesis of love. And Jesus stood against it. So who was this man? He couldn't have possibly been the son of that entity. No, he was something else. Let's have a conversation about what that might be. Please chime in here, Arch.
I do on this that we're not here to you know, serve ourselves. We're here to create and to make a better place for everyone. And the people that are running the world today are the very antithesis of that. They're grabbing all they can get for themselves at everybody else's expense, and they're basically willing to wipe out the planet so they can own everything.
You know, Arch, I've said to my callers numerous times, I don't think they're human. I know you've heard me say this in email group conversations. I think that they are created for the express purpose of destroying the Creator's creations, including us.
That would be in keeping with what the Gnostic scriptures say. If you read the Gnostic scriptures, they say that this material world was invented by a demigod named... Go ahead.
We got to go to break, and this is an important point, so we're going to talk about this Gnostic belief system when we come back from the break. Sorry to interrupt you. We'll be right back, folks.
No problem.
It's the birth of a new way on planet Earth. We welcome this new day on planet Earth.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Excuse me. Welcome back, everybody. Arch, let's get back to this Demiurge story. What did you want to say about it?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Let's talk about the Demiurge. What were you going to say about that?
I'm missing, say about, I'm getting a little feedback here. You're asking me to talk about what now?
About the fake God of the Bible and the Demiurge. I don't know how to say that word.
Well, I don't know. It's Yaldabaoth or Aldabaoth or something like this. But essentially, this is a satanic force or a devil or whatever that created this material world for his own purposes. And he trapped souls here, the essence of the Creator's divine presence. He trapped them in our bodies and uses us to further his own agenda. That's about as basic as I could get. But it's rather interesting. And when I read the Gnostic scriptures, I was like, this is crazy. This is one of those stories that's so far outside the normal narrative that you just like can't accept it. But as I read it again and again, and it became clear to me, and I started thinking, you know, this fits what I'm living far better than anything the Christian narrative comes up with.
There's a really big problem with it. And, I got you a set of the Ringing Cedars books for a reason, because those books present a clear understanding that there is a benevolent force that created this magnificent earth. And you can see the purity and the goodness in the faces of the animals. You can feel it when you breathe in the scent of the pine trees or the flowers. You can hear it in the sound of the birds or the water flowing by you or the ocean. You know that there is a benevolent force behind this that is based in love. But there is interference here, and it's wrong, absolutely wrong, to say that that interfering force is the creator of this world. That force is the creator of the technocratic world that has been overlaid, purposefully overlaid onto what is good and beautiful, and that has toxified and poisoned all of it. These are two... Go ahead, yeah.
Well, one other thing about this Demiurge, this Aldebaeus, is he was conceived without love. He was conceived solely by the goddess Sophia, without any consort without any consummation with any other god. So basically, Aldebaeus was conceived with knowledge, wisdom, and no love.
Did she have a purpose for conceiving him?
Yeah, she wanted. She just wanted to create something. She wanted to create something for her own, I don't know what word to use here, but she just wanted her own creation, and she wanted to do it on her own, basically. And again, she's the goddess of wisdom, so that's kind of an interesting thing.
You know, people like John Lash, who is a Luciferian, of course, he believes that Sophia is the true Lucifer. And of course, my work with respect to the impact of how we are conceiving children and bringing them into this world and what that has done to mankind, this all ties together. Because when a person is conceived without love, and I put myself in that category, all right, you know, because my parents were very young and were having sex for whatever stupid reason, but certainly, really, there was not love or loving intention to bring life into this world. And how much damage does this do? How much evil gets brought into the world as a result of our disgusting sexual behavior. And I mean disgusting. What people are doing is disgusting to me. And they think it's normal because they watch pornography. Young men think it's normal to choke women and spit on them. This is what we've come to, and children are being conceived in this. Yeah, so this has brought major problems. And when you don't bring God into the picture, when you act like this self-aggrandizing Sophia, who's going to be a creator without, you know, the spirit of love or God in it, you're bringing hell to the planet, quite literally. So that's great, Arch. Thank you for bringing that up. I wouldn't have thought to bring that up, but it really ties in with my thinking about what we're doing sexually, and I appreciate you bringing that up. I want to get back to the Jesus thing, because if you understand that even according to Arch, Jesus's parents were involved in conscious conception. They were involved in specifically bringing a being here for God to end evil, to help end evil. And this being was consciously conceived for an express purpose, with the help of God. And that is why he has become such an important figure, would be my guess. You can't give birth to a Christ unless you have an intention to do so. Parents got to get the... Go ahead, Orange.
Well, one thing about... People go, that's just unbelievable that they would breed Jesus. That's an absurdity. But if you look at history, breeding people for specific bloodlines goes all through it. I mean, the royal families, you know, the kings, the queens, they all bred children for a specific purpose. So there's nothing unusual in this. There's nothing bizarre in any of this. If you read the story of Sarah, where God gives Sarah a child, and oddly enough, God waits 9 months to give Sarah the child before he introduces the child to her. Now, Sarah's old, really old, and she laughs at this when God tells her, you know, we're going to give you a child. She thinks it's ludicrous. She, you know, I'm like 90 years old. I'm going to have a child? And the God says, well, nothing's impossible with God. And then 9 months later, bingo, they present her with this child. Now, to me, this story is a clear indication that because Abraham and Sarah could not conceive a child on their own, the priesthood steps in and delivers them a child that will continue the bloodline. One thing about the Old Testament God, if you read this book carefully, you will find the Old Testament God has a lot of human characteristics. And what you're reading actually is a high priest that represents God, but they just assign him the title. But he's actually a person, a human. So that's the God of the Old Testament.
The God of the Old Testament, Mauro Biglio, has actually translated the Bible. He's Italian, and he's a translator and a Hebrew translator. So he translated the original text. And the God of the Bible is one of many of what they call Elohim. There were different gods for different cults that existed at that time. And Yahweh was the God of this particular cult. And anyway, I'm pretty sure he's an Anunnaki, not a human. Although Anunnaki bear very similar characteristics to humans, except they have no feelings. You see? Well, and they're very much like Jews.
If you read the story of the Battle of Siddim Vale, right after the battle, this character comes riding out of the hills, and his name is Melchizedek. And there's no mention of him anywhere else. This strange character just comes riding out of the hills, and Abraham bows down in fealty and gives him 10% of his take from the battle with King Bera, who was incidentally the king of Sodom, and has this big party with his character Melchizedek, and then Melchizedek just disappears again. Melchizedek is called the King of Salem, which is code word for the King of Heaven, which would be God. So we see this character actually brought in to the Torah and then disappears again, and he's mentioned again much, much later by one of the prophets or something. But he makes this brief appearance, and it tells you who this God is. Now, the Jews don't believe in God, ostensibly. They don't believe in the God that we think of. And this would make sense if they know that the God is really one of them, is really a high priest or whatever, and is representing them and their interest. So they're not fooled by this magical, mystical character in outer space that comes down to, you know, to micromanage our lives, and for good reason.
Well, they actually do come down from outer space, okay, because there's all kinds of flying machines that spit out fire when they take off in the Bible. I mean, these are entities that were not from here, that had very advanced technology, even in biblical times. And this is very clear and very specific, like in Ezekiel, okay? So here's my take, and I'm going to take a caller in just a minute. Sarah and Abraham conceived through artificial reproductive technologies. The Anunnaki are geneticists. All right, they create life in a laboratory just like they're doing right now on the Earth. And they are hoping to take over the role of creating life from God, from the real creator. They're hoping to gain dominion over everything the creator does. So that's how they got their baby, from a test tube, is what I would guess, that this was not a natural conception. If they wanted to continue...
Created without love.
Absolutely without love. Every artificial reproductive, thing is without love. Every child conceived in that way is without love. They're conceived in a lab in the most disgusting way. And I know we got a caller, but, I went through this too, allowing these people to have my husband jack off into a, jack off to pornography and spill his semen into a cup. And then they spin it through a centrifuge and inject it into me because he had a low sperm count. Where's the love in this disgusting filth? And I was on all kinds of hormones and stuff that create genetically damaged and deformed children, which I had, a deformed child. I've been through freaking hell with this cult going after my babies, and everybody's going through this. You're going after your babies, and they start it with the way you're having sex. Dan, are you there? Is the caller still there, Frank? Okay, if he's not there, I'm just going to go on. If he comes back, let me know. I guess he's not there. Okay, so they start going after your kids, my friends, by going after your consciousness about how you have sex and making sure that you bring demonic energies into every sexual act because you're watching porn. And you can't get that stuff out of your mind, so that those entities are there when you're having sex with someone you allegedly love and you make a baby. Okay, so it starts with you getting your consciousness about how you create life. What do you think of this idea, Arch, about Sarah and Abraham actually having a baby through artificial reproductive technologies? Wait a second. Dan is back. Dan, what do you want to say? Dan,
hey,
are you there?
Yeah, sorry. I don't know what happened with the call there.
Okay.
Adam Green, there's theories. This professor from Chicago was on the Adam Green show, and he basically said a lot of this, basically, the entire Old and New Testament was made up to destroy Rome and the Roman culture and Celtic culture, basically because it changes the myth story that we're all basically from the Jew, Moses, or, Noah's Ark kind of thing, versus the Titans and the myth story that they had where they came from. So once you get people believe in that Noah's Ark thing, you destroy their traditional culture. There's that angle, but I've thought of a different angle too, of the Magi. If you, the three wise men that foresaw the birth of Jesus, I just thought it was interesting that Magi is the term for a Zoroastrian priest. So it's kind of the Jesus being born was kind of a way to destroy the Jewish, it's like a weapon against the Jewish culture, if you believe in all that. Because it was kind of interesting, because the Magi were not Jews, they weren't Christian, they were just basically pagan wise men. So when they came and foretold the birth of Jesus, and then you have, the guy killing all the firstborn sons and all that stuff. So it...
Yeah. Arch, what do you want to say about that?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Sorry. Two different topics. Okay. Sorry. Well, I brought up two different things. But.
Well, I'll tell you this. This is the new religious paradigm that Jesus was all about Rome, about undermining Rome, and that's what Christianity was doing. And I don't think I don't think Saul Paul, who was the actual creator of Christianity, it wasn't Jesus. I don't think that they started out with that idea. I think it morphed into that. But they try and paint Jesus as a Roman seditionist or a seditionist against Rome, and it's clearly that's not the case, because there's the coin issue where they ask him, should we pay tribute to Caesar? And he goes, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's and render unto God what's God. So he's clearly backing off the issue of attacking Rome. And then when he goes into Pilate, now Pilate doesn't even know he exists. The priests bring him in and say, you need to put this guy to death. And Pilate interviews Jesus and he goes, I find no fault with the man. Now, if he was a seditionist, would Pilate say something like that? And would he not recognize Jesus? Would he not know, this is the guy, we've been looking for him. He's against Rome. But no. So this whole idea that Jesus was all about being against Rome is a diversion. It's a distraction, and it's not true.
And it's to keep people from understanding, he was trying to bring down the Jewish sacrificial system. And he offered himself. He offered up himself as the final sacrifice. He had to do this in a very specific way to try to end the sacrificial system and the burden that was on the Jewish people, who were actually entombing their own family members to avoid having to pay extreme fees to the parasites at the top. Did I sum that up?
Jesus. I'm sorry.
Well, that's all I had. Thanks for taking the call. I'll listen offline. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan.
Jesus fulfilled the law. The law said you had to sacrifice to atone for sins, basically. There's 613 mitzvot, or commandments, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the Torah, that specify what these sins are. Now, people think of the Ten Commandments, but they're really a minor thing compared to the mitzvot. And Jesus shed his blood. Now, he was a priest, and he shed his blood on the cross as the final sacrifice of the Paschal Lamb. He did this during the Passover. And this fulfilled the law. This said when he becomes the blood sacrifice, there will be no more blood sacrifice. And so when that happened, that ended the sacrificial system, and it ended the primary source of revenue for the Second Temple priest. In other words, and after that, the temple fell into dissolution until it was finally physically destroyed in 70 AD. But there was a huge amount of infighting of the same kind that you found with the Maccabees, in before Christ. So there's been religious infighting amongst the Jews forever throughout their history. And that's what happened. After the sacrificial system collapsed, then there was this infighting to see who could take over the priesthood. Saul Paul, the inventor of Christianity, what he saw was an opportunity. He looked at this and he said, you know what? I'm not going to get into the infighting. I'm going to create a new religion. And I'm going to be the high priest of the new religion. This is going to be my way of assuming power outside the structure. And so this is where he came up with his former adversary, Jesus, which he was persecuting the followers and whatnot. He was a temple administrator. He was basically temple muscle, who would go in and beat people up and prosecute them for crimes and whatnot. So he turned 180 degrees around and became a follower of Jesus. But he never met the guy. He didn't know anything about Jesus. He just had this magical vision on the road to Damascus, ostensibly, that nobody witnessed. So all of Christianity is founded on this one vision that this individual had, this former temple Jew had.
And he became Paul, and the creator of what we call Christianity today. We're running low on time, but we do have a caller. Do you want to take the caller, Arch, or do you want to say more? Because we got
sure,
about five.
Sure, no, go ahead.
Okay, Lynn from Maryland, what would you like to say?
Thank you very much, Janice. I'll be praying about your attack there with the microwave. I'd recommend everybody read the 1611 Authorized Version of the King James Bible for yourself to know the truth. Jesus is from the line of Judah. He was not a Levite. And remember, he's the Lamb of God. He died voluntarily, that by his grace we are saved and we have power through and by him and his shed blood, that we can repent of our sins and we can live without being under our sin and the law. Now, the law doesn't mean the commandments don't matter and the commandments aren't trumped by something in the Mishpah, okay? Let's stick with some truth here and not some hooey people come up with. The Word of God is the truth, and we can stand on it, and we need no man to teach us if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So thank you, Janice, for giving me the time.
Thank you. I wanted you to stay on the line so Arch could respond. Arch, respond. Go ahead. Yes.
Let me address that. My question to all Christians is this. How have you sinned? There's 613 mitzvot that absolutely define sin. These are commandments. These are mitzvot, commandments. And they strictly define sin. Now, how many Christians have ever sacrificed an animal? I mean, how many Christians have really gone against Torah law? And if you don't ascribe to Judaism, to the ancient Judaism, how can you sin? Because that's
well, we have the New Testament, and Jesus is the Lamb of God.
Okay,
he shed his blood for our sin.
According to Christianity, just being conceived is a sin. It's called original sin.
No, that's Catholicism. That's not Christianity. That's totally different, Janice.
And we've got less than a minute left. So thank you, Lynn. There's so
thank
much
you.
To talk about here. Thank you. And Arch, how do people find your book again? Can you let them know?
Like I said, you can read the first four chapters, conspiracyofman.com.
All right. Arch Stanton on the line. He's a prolific writer and very interesting ideas. I hope people will take a look at his book, or at least the first four chapters. Thank you, Arch, for your time today, and thank you to all my callers. Thank you to Frank, my producer, and thank you to all my listeners. We'll be back again next week, friends. Take good care until then. Bye for now.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.